Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, April 5th, 2018. Residents of Juba say armed robberies are out of control with more than five killings on Tuesday.
In Gumba at San Bosco compound, just near it, two people were killed. The attackers were armed people, but we have not identified them yet. So we went there, we took the bodies, and then we launched an investigation.
And another plane crash lands in Wau.
According to officials in Wau, there are no casualties, and there were only four crew members on board, and the four crew members are safe currently.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A Russian-made Antonov plane crash-landed at Wau Airport this evening. Wau Airport authorities say there were no casualties. Joseph Akot Mayen is the managing director of Wau Airport. He explains what happened just a short while ago.
We had an Antonov coming from Kwajok this afternoon. When it was on landing, the left gear went inside due to hydraulic system. But right now we are making our effort with the UNMISS to let it push out from the runway. No one is injured. It is a cargo flight. It has some medicine for UNICEF, and it is not a kind of a heavy cargo even. But it is just a small technical, and then it will be possibly pushed out from the runway. We have already talked to UNMISS authority to bring us the equipment, this pushback and the forklift, so that the plane is pushed out from the runway for maintenance. There is nothing much happened, but according to the report from crew, that it is just a pipe of hydraulic which got a problem to the left main gear, which led the aircraft to slip from the runway to the left side. For the people that for us in civil aviation, we are always on alert. And we have this kind of issue is not a big issue. Let not the people take it seriously that the plane has crashed. No, it is not the kind of crash. It's just a technical something, and then no one is injured, and then all the crew which were on board are okay. And it was only for cargo, Antonov.
Our reporter Michael Atit has been covering events in Wau. He says Wau Airport has a history of plane crashes.
I spoke with one of the tower operators in Wau this afternoon, and he confirmed to me that a Russian plane, Antonov, number UPAN-067, crashed at the Wau Airport at around 4 this afternoon.
What was the cause of the crash?
According to him, the plane actually was coming from neighboring Gobriali State in Kwajok, coming to Wau. So upon the landing, one of the landing gear got broken, and it caused the plane to crash on the landing strip.
Are there any casualties among the passengers on the plane?
According to officials in Wau, there are no casualties, and there were only four crew members on board, and the four crew members are safe currently.
And what kind of a plane was it? A passenger plane, a cargo plane? Could you tell us about the mission of that plane?
Yes, according to the officials there, it is a cargo plane coming from Kwajok to Wau, as I said earlier, carrying drugs and some materials for UNICEF to Wau.
What is the distance between Kwajok and Wau?
The distance with flight can be approximately 20 to 25 minutes or maximally half an hour between Wau to Kwajok when you fly.
Wau Airport or airstrip has been in the news for wrong reasons for several times. I mean, what is the problem with the airport? Last year, there was also a plane crash there. What is going on in Wau?
John, I don't know if you have visited Wau before, but the position of the Wau Airport is like opposite, facing east-west. So if a plane is coming, for example, landing, the plane should land either from west to east or from east to west. I don't know whether this is a correct description. But in other international airports, you find the airport normally it is like a goalpost facing north-south or south-north. So this is the situation of the WOW airport. And I'm not an expert in that. Maybe this could be like has contributed maybe to numbers of planes being crashed at the WOW airport.
And what about the condition of the runway in WOW? The last time I was there, probably 6 years ago, that runway was not tarmac. What is the condition of the runway?
The WOW airport, since 2012, it has been renovated and it has been tarmac. And that has been the initiative from the national government here. So even last year when that plane of the South Supreme Airlines crashed, it was already tarmac. So since then, it could receive even big planes like Vision for WFT and all this.
That's South Sudan in Focus reporter Michael Atit. He was speaking with me from Juba this evening. 6 people were killed in Juba this week in separate armed robberies. Police admit the security situation in Juba is worsening. Residents of Sherikat say 2 people were killed early Tuesday morning, while 4 others were killed in other locations around the city later that day. Manyang David Mayar reports for VOA from Juba.
At around 4 o'clock Tuesday morning, residents of Gumbo woke to the sound of gunshots. Speaking in Arabic, Arol Gau Arol, a community leader in Sherikat, says residents in the neighborhood were shot and killed on the spot.
Criminal came and shot a man in his house. His neighbor woke up to see why people were crying, but he was shot dead also. So this is what happened. The commissioner of Rajab went to the site and witnessed this.
Harold says 4 other people were killed on Tuesday in farmlands very close to the Gumbo area.
There were some civilians who went to their farms yesterday morning. Those people were killed, and the reason they were killed, nobody really knows. This happened soon after the bodies of those killed were taken. Those people were not shot, but they were beaten to death.
Police spokesman Daniel Justin confirms the killings took place this week. He says officers have not apprehended any suspects in connection with the murders.
In Gumba, at San Bosco compound, just near it, 2 people were killed. The attackers were armed people, but we have not identified them yet. So we went there, we took the bodies, and then we launched an investigation.
Justin says residents have complained to the police about high rate of nighttime attacks in the area by unknown armed groups. He says the police have responded by intensifying night patrols in the Gumbo and Sherikat, but clashed with a local community policing group in the area.
So the next day we dispatched a force to the area, and yesterday night they were doing their night with foot patrol, and even those of the area, they have also their own night patrol. So when they saw our police, they thought these are the criminals, so they started shooting at us. So when the vehicles rushed in, they discovered that these are the police, and then they raised their hands, they surrendered, they said we are sorry because we thought these are the criminals because they used to come in uniform and so on. So that is what happened yesterday night, but we thank God that nobody was harmed.
Juba resident Arol Gao is asking the government to carry out a mass disarmament exercise in Juba town to help remove illegal firearms from the hands of civilians. He says in this past week alone, there have been 4 armed attacks which have claimed the lives of innocent civilians. For VOA News, Amanyang David Mayar in Juba.
Jonglei State Governor Philip Aguer has formed a committee to investigate suspected names of ghost workers and absentees in the government payroll. Aguer says he wants to fight corruption and streamline the state workforce during South Sudan's economic crisis. Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
Governor Aguer says the state government is bloated with ghost workers. He says it is a terrible waste of money to pay people who don't exist.
We'll screen the workforce so that we have a workforce that have no ghost name and accurate. We have limited resources and we have a huge workforce, and we wanted to have a manageable workforce that can be paid within the context of the economic condition of South Sudan and of Jonglei State.
Thorn Simon is the Jonglei State Minister of Labor and Public Service and chairs the committee screening state civil servants. He says his team is looking for names of individuals who appear on multiple payrolls, absentees as well as retired officials.
We are fight corruption. We want to make labor and public service to be clear without fear and favor. We have some problem in other ministries like health. We have a lack of doctors in education, also teachers. So we want to identify exactly how many teachers there are there, and if there is a gap, we want to recruit more.
28-year-old Bor resident Ayuen Deng welcomes the move by state officials to fight corruption.
It has blocked positions of some other citizens who are supposed to be employed in those names, like it can even be 10% of youth being supposed to be employed in those names. So it's a good initiative that government is doing that thing of screening out ghost names.
Deng says the initiative to fight corruption will give hundreds of youth in Jonglei without jobs a chance to serve in the state government.
It has been the major issue in the last 4 years since the conflict broke in South Sudan. There are many people who have ghost names in the payrolls, and this has hindered out payment for civil servants, because when the money is brought, that money is not always enough because there are so many names in the payroll. So this initiative taken by the state government is welcome, and I'm sure it will improve the service delivery in the state.
Other residents say they embrace the initiative, but worry the ones who claim to be fighting corruption might also be corrupt in one or another themselves. South Sudan in Focus contacted Alier Maler, the Deputy Speaker of Jonglei Legislative Assembly, and four other members of the State Parliament for comments on Governor Aguirre's move, but the five lawmakers have all declined for comment. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng, reporting from Bor.
We now turn to Uganda, where the parliament has approved a government request to pay off a debt owed to Ugandan traders by the government of South Sudan, according to a bilateral agreement. South Sudan is expected to pay back the loan with interest when it stabilizes. VOA's Catherine Nambi has this report for VOA from Kampala.
For close to 8 years, a number of Ugandan traders who supplied goods and services to the government of South Sudan have been waiting for compensation for outstanding arrears amounting to $41 million. Under the Uganda South Sudan Grain Traders and Suppliers Association Limited, 10 Ugandan companies reportedly supplied maize and sorghum to 10 South Sudan states under the Strategic Grain Reserve Supplies for $56 million. The government of South Sudan was to repay regular installments to the companies. However, only the first $15 million payment was received. That means $41 million has not been paid due to political instability in the country. Several Ugandan traders have decried the trade deal, which went sour, but have kept looking forward to compensation. Rashid Manafa is one of the traders.
Most of us, we have never gone back to businesses. Most of our members have lost their property to bankers because they were borrowing money from the bankers. And we thought maybe we were going to be compensated 5 years ago. But after a long time, we waited until we put pressure on the parliament by writing more petitions.
Uganda, in a bilateral pact with South Sudan, would pay the traders with a loan. Juba would pay back the loan with 6% interest within 5 to 10 years. David Bahati is Uganda's Minister of State for Finance.
The President agreed that we can pay this on a government-to-government day.
Parliament has now given a nod to government to push through with the compensation. Parliament's Committee on National Economy said the endorsement followed an overall view that the economy of South Sudan is facing significant challenges characterized with civil war, depreciation of its local currency, declining production capacity, and inflation above 100%. Jacob Olanya is the Speaker of Uganda's Parliament.
Honourable members, I now put the question that the motion, the resolution, Parliament to authorise government to implement the bilateral agreement with the government of South Sudan. Will those in favour say aye? See the quorum. The ayes have it.
Yisa Sechito is a spokesperson of Kampala City Traders Association. He says the approval of the loan and of the compensation comes as great relief to traders who lost colossal sums of money and property.
We believe that this is a beginning good ground for let these 10 be paid, let all those of the people who have been demanding for almost 8 years also be paid. The best is we should carry out further scrutiny of all claims. Maybe since this is a financial year 2018-2019, then we could consider another batch after serious scrutiny.
The money will now be paid out through Uganda South Sudan Grain Traders and Suppliers Association Limited, which consists of formally registered companies that supplied maize and sorghum under the strategic grain reserve supplies to the 10 South Sudan states. Part of it will also go to the Joint Association for the Redemption of Ugandan Traders in South Sudan, which consists of traders with small and diverse claims. Meanwhile, Manafa says Ugandan traders need to utilize markets at the Uganda-South Sudan border as they await stability to return to Africa's youngest nation.
So we are still requesting the Ugandans that they should stop at the border, let the Sudanese come and buy from our border, they go and do the business themselves in their country.
Since 2006, South Sudan has been the destination for almost 20% of Uganda's exports, the largest share to any single country. However, the continuing instability in South Sudan has made trade between the two countries difficult. This is Catherine Nambi for VOA News in Kampala.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, pirates strike off the coast of Somalia again. Find out more when we return after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
What advice would you give to a young parent?
For a young parent, he should find out how he can sustain the wife and the baby at the moment. Like, he should not sit idle by just waiting or for the mother of the child to be the one to run up and down.
We should focus on our family because there are so many other factors that will derail our attention from our family. We should have friends, yes, but the friends we should make is the friend that help us to build this family.
I would advise a young parent to, like, they don't know anything about being a parent, visit friends or even ask their own parents how to parent a child, the things to do when they are crying, when they are misbehaving.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. In 2010, pirates captured Sri Lankan engineer Sarath Surasena off the coast of Somalia and held him hostage for over 2 years. But after his release, Surasena returned to the Wotan Nation to help train its coast guard to protect the shores from high sea banditry. For VOA, Jenson Patenkin has the story from the Somali port city of Bosaso.
It was meant to be a routine voyage. In December 2010, Sri Lankan sailor Sarath Surasena was the engineer in a 19-man crew aboard the Panamanian-flagged MV Orna. They were sailing from South Africa to India with a load of coal. But northeast of the Seychelles Islands in the Indian Ocean, Somali pirates attacked. They fired rocket-propelled grenades at the Orna and boarded the vessel. Suddenly, Sirisena and his fellow crew members were prisoners on their own ship.
And even we are going to the toilet, somebody comes behind us with a machine gun.
The hijacking of the Orna occurred at the height of the Somali pirate menace, which paralyzed Indian Ocean shipping lanes a decade ago. For the crew, it was a terrifying ordeal lasting 2 years. Sirisena and the others endured hunger and beatings. One crew member was shot, though he survived.
Every day when sunshine, we wake up, we're afraid. We don't know at next time who's going to be killed, who's going to be hurt. But one thing I was thinking, I thought, anyway, whenever if I get a chance to be released and go back to the civilized society, I will try my level best to do something against this human trade. This is a human trade, nothing else. They hold the human and they demand money.
Eventually, Sirisena's family managed to raise $10,000 to pay off the pirates. He was handed over to Somalia's government in Mogadishu on New Year's Eve 2012. 2 weeks later, he was home in Sri Lanka. Soon after, the other crew members remaining in captivity were released as well. But Sirisena longed to go back to Somalia. At the time, the UN Office of Drugs and Crime was running a program to train Somali coast guards. They needed an engineer to teach boat mechanics and maintenance. Sirisena got the job.
Believe me, first time I did not tell my wife at that time I'm going to Somalia. So I said I'm going to Kenya, otherwise I will never be able to come here.
Today, he lives in the port city Bosaso, staying in a fortified UN compound due to the war-torn nation's persistent insecurity. So far, he's trained two Coast Guard units in different parts of Somalia that have deployed on the high seas.
One type we call two-stroke engines.
His latest group of trainees are from Galmudug, the same place where he was once held under the guard of a 9-year-old armed with an AK-47, a boy he would befriend during his captivity.
I'm happy over here. My part is to enhance the capability, I mean to say, about engineering. I'm an engineer. And I have a good team in Bosaso, so they are good mechanics now. In direct, I'm participating against this piracy.
Since its heyday a decade ago, piracy has dropped dramatically in the Indian Ocean, thanks in part to local coast guards and deployments of international navies in Somali waters. But Sirisena says it will take more than force to stamp it out forever.
These people are not well looked after. They suffer. They suffer. In the same time, there are some other people in the same society living luxury life, right? So these people wanted to make money, either in good way or bad way. Whatever we do against the piracy, we cannot totally stop unless we develop the country.
Until then, Sirisena says he'll continue to do his small part in the fight against piracy. Jason Patinkin for VOA News, Bosaso, Somalia.
From Somalia, we move to Freetown. Sierra Leone has a new president, former soldier Julius Maada Bio. Election officials say he won over 50% of the re-round vote, while his challenger, Samora Camara, garnered 48%. Bio also won by a narrow margin the first round of the vote a few weeks ago. About 3 million people were registered to take part in the poll. Olivia Ackland is in the capital, Freetown. VOA's William Eagle asked her how the public is reacting to the news.
The mood on the streets is pretty jubilant. From the moment that the election result was announced, I've seen people running through the streets in groups, singing, chanting, Maada Bio, Maada Bio. Lots of people wearing green clothes, which is the colour of the opposition party. Others hanging out of car windows and car doors, blowing whistles and screaming and shouting. I expect that many Sierra Leoneans will be partying until the early hours of the morning.
Have any of the losing parties said that they would contest the results?
Samora Camara has gone on television and said that his party will not accept the result. He says that there were massive electoral irregularities in the last round of voting. He gives examples of massive ballot stuffing, overvoting, fraudulent voting registers, and says that as a responsible party, it's their duty to challenge He asked for his supporters to stay calm and maintain peace while they pursue these legal measures.
What can you tell us about Madibio? What do we know about his former time in power and his style of governance?
Madibio has actually already been in power in Sierra Leone for a very short period of time. He was part of a military coup in 1992. His friend and colleague Valentine Strasser ruled Sierra Leone for 4 years, and then Madibio led a coup against him, toppled him, saying that it was not constitutional for him to remain in power for so long without having a democratic election. So then Madibio took leadership just for a few months before a democratic election took place, and then Bio left to Ghana. There are rumours that he left to Ghana because he was paid to go, and there are rumours that he left because he wanted some time out of the country. He ran for office back in 2012, but lost to the outgoing president, Ernest Bikaroma.
What are some of the top items, some of the top things that must be done that are on the agenda of the new administration?
So in Madibio's campaign, he talked a lot about corruption, particularly accusing the outgoing APC party of corruption and financial mismanagement. He says that he plans to open a special division in the High Court to deal with corruption. He thanked the Sierra Leonean people in his speech for voting for change and promised to deliver it to them. Let's see what the next few weeks and months hold.
That was reporter Olivia Acklan in Freetown, Sierra Leone. She was speaking with VOA's William Eagle. That brings us to the end of our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Sweet Home by Manase Matiang.
Shako on the beat.
Yeah. Ooh, damn. Home sweet home. I say home sweet home. Tell me when you're ready, let me come for you. Is crying, yeah. The people are scattered, yeah. Some of them run to the bush and hide. Their eyes are full with the tears. Some of them run to the bush. Some of them run to the camps. They run long way, long, long way from the south of the guns and the hunger. Journey of the life and survival. Nothing more sweet than hope. Nothing good than hope. We come a long, long way, long, long way from a home, long way. To share our stories, hiding in the bush. Our body are shaking. Say home, sweet home. Tell me when you're ready, let me come for you. Home, sweet home. Home, sweet home. Tell me when you're ready, let me come for you.
We have been listening to Manase Matiang with the song Home Sweet Home. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. We want to hear your comments about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also reach us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Where you from? What you doing?